to come apart from the world, set aside those things that you're wondering about, the different thoughts this morning, you know, about lunch or whatever it might be, the problems you have, and say, Lord, speak to me. Open your heart to the word of God from the man of God, and you see what God will do. Okay? He's a blessing to my heart, to this church's heart. He is a friend in the ministry, and he's a friend outside of the ministry. Love him, love his family. And God, you just pray that, again, we can be a blessing to them, and I know he'll be a blessing to us. I'm looking forward to the hope that lies within me to grow during this hour. Brother Tony, you come ahead.
I didn't bring my cane, brother. I got a cane. No, thank you. There's a story behind that, folks. Ouch. God bless you.
He was hurting, and he says, oh, I forgot my cane, brother. Can you bring a cane? He's in another church and stuff. And I'm going, I can't handle that. That cane, I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
and I painted it black. Nice black cane, so it looked really neat. The only problem was I handed it to Brother Tony, and it wasn't quite dry.
You couldn't tell them on my hands.
No. He looked like a kid who'd been playing with a blotter or something. His palms were all marked up.
Amen. Listen, I'm humbled and I'm privileged to be here. Honored as well. As I mentioned in Sunday school, this is a highlight for me just being here of the year, because this kind of sets us off. Typically, you know, we're here in February and for a few days, and certainly hope we get back to that, if Lord willing. But I just love coming here anytime we can. We hate to leave. I mentioned this morning, my 3-year-old, she's laying in bed. She said, Papa, I go nowhere today. I stay right here today. The food, my goodness. I mean, everything, all the accommodations, better than a 5-star hotel. We always come to minister, and we leave being ministered to. A family obviously is here, Brown Sugar, and as my brother said, sugarettes, sugar dumplings, not dumplings, but sugar cubes, whatever, amen. And three of them. I'm a little tired, so pray for me. We had gifts for you this morning, but this is one of the gifts here, and I won't take time to explain everything. Your pastor talked about it, but I will say this, that I did have something that you could, messages that you could keep in your Bible, literally, and Brother Caleb will take care of making sure you get one if you weren't here for Sunday school. Okay? I mentioned briefly about a video that I did an interview over Christmas season. Actually, it was Thursday, December 22nd. I was singing in the parking lot, as I typically do, over at the library in Rochester. And a reporter, Amy Hudak from Channel 13, she was getting out of her car, and she came over to me and she said, how did you know I needed that song? And I said, I didn't know. She said, well, you really ministered to me with that baritone voice. I didn't know she was a Christian. And she said, do you sing like that all the time? I said, anywhere, everywhere. Wegmans, Home Depot, everywhere. I used to go in and I asked the proprietor to let me sing if I could sing. Now I just go in and just defy them to stop me. Here's why. Because people enjoy songs that minister to their hearts. And so she said, would you mind singing on television? I said, I'm glad you asked. And so she did an interview, not only singing, but talking. And she got me singing Christmas carols in around the city and various places and in front of the old church that I used to pastor that we started years ago. And it was a really good piece. It was probably about a minute and a half. I like what Don Elhart said. He said he wanted to put up a sign that said, music, singing penetrates the heart. You know, something else he said in an interview when he was celebrating his 50th anniversary, he said that if he hadn't gone into broadcasting, he'd probably be in the ministry. And he said his dad's favorite song was, I Love to Tell the Story. Boy, I'd like to sing that song to him. He also said he could listen to this baritone voice of mine all day long. And so I don't say that to boast. I really don't. You know, I'm getting too old for that. I really am. You know, I know the glory goes to God. Whatever we have, we use it for God's glory. Amen? And God's given me a good baritone voice that I try to use to minister to people with, whether I'm singing or preaching. But anyhow, I say it to say this, that, you know, the doors are being opened wide for an opportunity for me to minister into the inner city. And I'm more burdened for the city than the jungles of Africa. And I say that because sometimes we think that the foreign mission fields, Africa, Alaska, is more important than right in your own backyard. They're not. They're not. And I mean literally. You know, I'm more burdened about in my own backyard than anywhere else. And it happens to be in the heart of the inner city. Kayla's been there, passing through. You had to get out real quick. No, you didn't. But I'm going to go to Youth Ablaze. I'm going. Okay? And so I know I took a little bit more time than I wanted to, and I'll edit the message because of that. But I want you to pray, because I'm going to start going to churches and asking them if I can come to a missions conference as a missionary evangelist to the city of Rochester. God has opened up many opportunities. He's given me a discipleship ministry, not only for saved people, especially young people, but it's also a mentoring. And it's not just for saved, but for unsaved too. And I've been looking for something like this because I've been working a literacy program at the rec center for the last 10 years, watching kids receive Christ but having no follow-up that they wanted to be a part of. You know, instead of trying to encourage them to come to church, but taking the church to them. And we've got a ministry called the God's Gladiators Ministry. And brother, I want to get that to you. It's a profile that we put together. And it's designed like the Boy Scouts, the original one. And it's adaptable to the military. As a matter of fact, I got a board of directors that we're forming, and one of the people on the board of directors is a former chief of police for Greece. His name is Todd Baxter. But anyhow, that was a little commercial. But we'll get on to the preaching, and I trust that God will bless us. And before we start singing, Caleb, I'd like to sing a prayer. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear our humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I'm crying, Savior, oh Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass us by. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord of God. Will you pray with all your power as we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Would you do that, please? Would you just pray as God leads for the next few moments, and then we'll get on to singing and preaching? Would you do that silently? We're talking to the congregation. Amen. And Pastor, we'll have you break the silence and lay hands on this preacher. You don't have to lay hands. Come down.
Heavenly Father, again, we come before you. God, I thank you. I thank you that we can come together in unity of the faith. Father, I thank you that we can come before you in hope, Lord, seeking your face, knowing, Father, that you are with us this morning.
We ask, God, that you just bless the service again. You give this man of God a fresh unction from on high. Father, that you anoint his mind and his mouth, his lips, the words that he speaks, the actions of his hands and feet. I pray you protect him, Father, Lord. His knees, he's hurting him pretty good. He's struggling with it, Lord. And God, I pray that, Lord, you give him a little space. Father, as he brings forth the word of God, I pray, God, that you would just be with each and every person here this morning, that you might deal with their hearts and you deal with mine. Open us up to the leading of your Spirit, the convicting power of your word, Father, and we pray that you would work as only you can, Father, in each and every part. Father, minister to our hearts in the singing, Father, of the hymns, the singing of the songs, the preaching of your word. Let it all be worshiped, come before your throne, that we might bring praise to the Most High God, that we might be, Father, a sweet savor before you this morning. And if, Father, if there's someone here who doesn't know Christ the Savior, that he'd come to the Savior today. She'd come to the Savior today. Help us, Father, just to be blessed and to be a blessing. Be with the man of God, and we'll thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Go ahead. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come?
Amen.
Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen.
Well, if you missed the Sunday school hour, you missed Brother Tony, and he started off in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, of course, talking about the greatest of these. The end of the chapter, he's going and he's talking, verse 13, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And he started talking about faith, and this morning you already heard it's going to be about hope. And he's talking about faith. He's talking about the idea that what is really faith? Faith is taking God at his word. It's taking what God says about what he wants you to do and doing it. There's no simpler way to look at it. Pastor's already talked a little about what he handed out to us. The idea of faith is that we get to take steps of faith. We get to move forward as opposed to staying where we are. Your faith ought to increase as opposed to going backwards. As it increases, it ought to bring you to the place where you are closer to your Savior than it does you walking away from your Savior. As you get closer and others get closer, then you get closer in unity. That's what that paradigm is about, the pyramid that he gave you. It's about the idea of taking steps toward the Savior so that not only can you get closer, but others will get closer, and you'll be able to walk toward him. The importance of faith is that without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't please God without that aspect of faith. You can't please him without trusting him. You need to trust him. Every moment, every day, every time you take another step, that's where it is. He didn't go there, but I think of Job, and he talks about the Lord and how, you know, the Lord's not there on my left. I can't find him on my right. You know, I know he's working. I know he's doing something. And then he goes, but he knoweth the way that I take.
Hallelujah.
The Lord knows right where you are. And it's our trust that when we take that next step, that when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold.
Hallelujah.
The trust that you have to have in the Savior is what makes it easy for you to be able to move forward. The confidence that we have, the security that we hold. And he talked about it, and faith comes in only two ways. It comes either by the written word of God or the living word of God. You need the living word of God, Jesus Christ, so that you can have faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The faith isn't of you, it's his faith. It gets put towards you, and you get to learn, and you get to grow from that. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you're not in your Bible, then you're not growing. You're not growing by faith. You're not understanding. What is the importance? How can I get my faith more? Your faith grows because of how much confidence you can have in the words of God and the purity of it. And that's what he tried to get you to see. He tried to get you to see that the steps that he gave you on there, I'm not going to cover the steps. You got it right there. Those steps, why are they there? They're there because God told you those are your steps. God told you you can have confidence in that. The idea of your faith increasing is based not upon you, and it's not upon anything that you see or any of those things where you get to go, well, you know, I know God answers your prayers and you can hold on to those things, but more of it comes because of what he's said and what he has already done. The purity of knowing that when you open up the Bible and he gives you the answer that you need, that you have the answer that you need. It's not a confidence in you, and it's not a confidence in anything else. It's a confidence in who God is and what he has done.
Amen.
And that's the faith you need. And now, when you base your faith on the words of God, now your hope comes in.
There you go. This guy's good. God bless him. That was Jesus. You know that. Don't you take any
Absolutely.
Credit for that. Singing together and, you know, preaching together and teaching together and doing these things together. Man, when I get big, I want to be like him. I don't want to be a whippersnapper, though. Is it not on? Okay. Okay. Well, I'll use this one too. That. Okay.
I'll steal this.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Okay. Can you still hear me? Can you guys hear me? What you have is you're in the back, you can't see this. And if you can't see this, you're too far in the back. But anyhow. Now listen, and guys, listen. What I gave you is a smaller version of this as a gift. And we had maybe about 80 of them this morning. I've got about 8 more of them. And so first come, first serve if you want one. And it's good to have in your Bible. Now, you can also, and I gave one to John Wall because he's my prayer warrior. I gave a full-size one to him and his wife. I didn't give you the frame, but you can get a nice frame. This is for your church. And I'm going to send you one for your home, Pastor, okay? But anyhow, that's that. Caleb's going to make copies for the ones who didn't get one. Okay? And so, make sure you get one. There. Okay, let me move on. The theme for our series of messages is characterized by these characteristics. Our text, once again, is 1 Corinthians 13:13. I don't think I'm going to walk, but you don't believe that, do you? Listen, man, I got a bad knee. My feet hurt. I got bunions, man. My shoes are off. I'm not Sam Gipp, but I do have clean socks. But anyhow, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now here's the thought we want to convey, that God wants our lives to be characterized by these three main moral characteristics: faith, hope, and charity. The title for this message is a characteristic of hope. All right, now who needs hope? I'm glad you asked. The unsaved people are without it. And because they're without hope, they are lost without hope. They're without God. They're without Christ. They're without the promises of God. They're without a family of God. They are strangers to God. They are sorrowful. They are miserable. They are blinded. They are on their road to hell. They're disillusioned, depressed, defeated, distraught, dumbfounded, destroyed, in the dark, doomed and damned, etc. and etc. Now, I know that sounds cruel, but listen, I'm telling you the truth in love. If you're lost, these are experiences that you will have without hope. And if you're saved, you can lose hope if you let the devil steal it from you. And you can feel this way. You can feel disillusioned, depressed, deprived, defeated, distraught, dumbfounded, destroyed, in the dark, doomed, damned, etc., etc., etc. But you don't have to be without hope is the choice for the lost and for the saved. What is hope? It's one of the three greatest human qualities and moral characteristics that we talked about in 1 Corinthians 13 in Sunday school. For the lost, hope is wishful thinking. For the saved, hope is an expectation. It's something that we can count on. It's confidence and trusting and something. And Pastor gave me a definition from the 1828 dictionary. Let me read a few things here. For the sake of time, I'll just go over some of these. A desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of hope of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable. Hope differs from wish and desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining good desired, or the possibility of possessing it. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish and desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. This is good stuff. Hope is confidence in a future event, the highest good, a degree of well-founded expectation of good as a hope founded in God's gracious promises. That which gives hope, or he that which furnishes good ground of expectation, of promise desired of good. The hope of Israel is the Messiah. The Lord will be the hope of his people. An optional belief not amounting to certainty, but grounded on substantial evidence. The Christian indulges a hope that his sins are pardoned. Hope. To cherish a desire of good with some expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it's obtainable. Hope for good success. Be sober and good to the hope to the end. Hope humbly then with trembling opinions to place confidence in, to trust with confidence expectation of good. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Hope to desire with expectation of good or belief that it may be obtained, but as whatever that word is. I think it is enough for the dictionary. Listen, hope for a Christian is more than wishful thinking. It's an expectation in God, because hope for a Christian is best defined as a person. Hope for a Christian is none other than Jesus Christ, the epitome of hope. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. And when you get there, say amen. We're going to do a little scripture reading this afternoon. Titus chapter 2, verse 15. You beat me once again. Titus chapter 2. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, the great God, there's a deity scripture, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our hope is in a person, Christian, not a thing, not a place. Do you hear me, teenager? I'm picking on you because you look like you're drifting on me. Don't you dare drift on me. I got a water pistol in my back pocket, and you don't know what's in it. And I will squirt you. They don't know who I'm talking to. They think I'm talking to your brother. And I'm not talking to another. I'm talking to you, and I'm not talking to your mother. But I got a pistol. Pay attention. You too. They don't call me Chocolate Thunder for nothing. I don't play. And listen, Mom, you better listen. And you too, Pops. Amen? We can have fun, guys. But I ain't joking. Jeez. I might be a better stand-up than a preacher, right? But anyhow, let's move on. All right. Hope is a person. Doesn't that give you some confidence in knowing that Jesus is your hope? Because he never fails. I think my guests are here. Would y'all let them in? Okay. Hope is an expectation of the things that Jesus has promised. And you know, his promises never fail. Listen, Jesus cannot fail. He doeth all things well. He is the epitome of our hope. What is hope? Hope is a person. Best define it a person. When do we receive hope from God? Well, I won't even ask you this question because the answer is so simple. When we receive Christ. You see, if you don't receive Christ, you have no hope. You have no hope. Come on, somebody. But when you receive Christ, listen, Nick, in case you don't know it, let me tell you. You have all the hope that you can ever need. You don't, listen, you have no reason to be disillusioned. You have no reason to be dumbfounded. You have no reason to be depressed. You have no reason to feel like you're destroyed. You have no reason to feel like you're defeated. You have no reason to doubt. Not unless you want to. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. Do you realize, Christians, the devil is trying to steal your hope? He wants to steal your joy. He can't take your salvation, but he can make you think that you're not saved. He can make you feel like you're hopeless if you let him. You know he's a liar? And brother, I used to say that, but now I realize that. He is a liar. He wants to keep you in the dark, Christian. Don't let him. I tell you what, listen, you have to take steps of faith to experience the hope that you already have, because it's in the person of Jesus Christ. And when you receive Christ, you receive that hope. He is our hope. And I know it might sound like I'm rude. I'm just trying to get the message across. Now let me ask you, where do you think this hope comes from? You probably say, well, I already know. Well, did you know this? It comes from God the Father. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. I don't mean to be with you long today. Is that all right? Don't say yes, because I'll take longer. They think I'm crazy, and I am. But I'm crazy for Jesus. But we, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, especially now since the pastor said he wants more scripture. It's going to take more time. But anyhow, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. That's not the verse I'm looking for. Very good verse. But the verse I wanted to, let's turn over to Titus, 1 Timothy chapter 1 more, because I want to use that verse that makes our point a lot more clear. Second is the 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Jesus is our hope, our blessed hope. You know, he is the source of our hope. God the Son is the source of our hope. God the Father is also the source of our hope. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. There's a couple of references. Let's go into at least one of those references. I'm not going to single you folks out, but it's good to see you. Gloria a Dios. All right. Got distracted a little bit. Titus chapter, what did I say? Titus chapter 2? 1:2. Okay. In hope of eternal life, which God, they cannot promise, God lie, promised before the world began. Our source of hope is not only God the Son, but it's also God the Father. 1 Peter 1:21. It will turn there. And when you get there, say amen. I love to hear pages ruffle. Okay. 1 Peter 1:21. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that our faith and hope might be in God. God the Father is a source of our hope. God's Spirit is a source of our hope. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Are you with me tonight, saints, or this afternoon, saints? I don't hear nobody barking out there. Romans chapter 15. Once again, when you get there, say amen. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, the sources of hope is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Are you listening out there? Okay, I see somebody talking to somebody else while I'm preaching. You don't want to do that. You just might get squirted with this mystery squirt gun that I have. You don't know what I have in this squirt gun. Whatever's in it is a certain color. Don't mess with me. But are you getting the message? How could you go wrong? If it comes to this whole concept of having hope. Listen, if you think that you don't have any hope, you're calling God a liar. If you are living a hopeless life as a Christian, shame on you. Shame on me. My family will tell you that, you know, this last year was kind of tough on me. There were many times that I talked to Pastor Lagos, so he knows. And I know I'm a hypocrite. No brag, just fact. And what I mean by this is I'm a work in progress. And I'm not all that I should be or could be yet. And neither are you. Neither are you. Well, we talk a big, better talk than we walk. But you know what? My hope, my expectation is one day I will be perfected. But in the meantime, I'm a work in progress. That's my expectation because God told me that. Are you with me? I've had some dark days this year. I mean, I've been in such despair where my wife said, listen, Tony, you got to snap out of this because you're dragging all of us down that hole with you. That's what got my attention to start doing something about it. When I had to take my wife to the hospital because she started suffering with the effects of that stroke and the anxiety started, it gets contagious sometimes. And they told me that good thing you brought her to the hospital because her blood vessels were about to burst. They were so constrained. Folks, anxiety can kill you if it's not properly treated. And one of the best antidotes for anxiety is hope. Are you with me? When I say capisce, if you instead of saying yes, say capisce. Capisce? Amen. I don't know if that's Swahili. I don't know if that's Ebonics. I don't know if that's Spanish. Is that Spanish, brother? Capisce, capisce? What about capisce? That's why I hang out with that guy, man. I'll tell you. I love him. You like him too? So the source of faith is God the Son, God the Spirit, God the Father. How about God's Word? Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for your learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have what? Hope. I can't hear you. Hope. I still can't hear you.
Hope.
It comes from the Scripture. How about hope? Where else does it come from? It comes from the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, and I won't turn to that reference, but over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it's verses 9 and 1 Corinthians verses 19 and 20, it talks about how if Jesus was not resurrected from the dead, you're like most men, miserable, having no hope. You see, one of the sources of our hope is the resurrection of the Jesus Christ from the dead. We can have all these expectations because he did rise from the dead. Amen. And because he rose, we rose with him. It's not like we are going to rise. We already rose with him. Amen. Amen. And we can choose whether we want to live the crucified life or not. Amen. I'm talking about a life that is totally, completely dependent about Christ. I'm talking about a life where you have victory over sin. I'm talking about a life where you can abide in Christ. I'm talking about a life where Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's your hope as a Christian. The hope, the source of hope is the love of God. Boy, when you realize how much God loves you, you can hope. You can have hope. And everything that he said, expectation, everything that he said, if it hasn't come to true, it will. Because hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hope. Hope. Source of hope. Is your faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. You can't separate faith and hope. Why? Why do we need hope? Oh, let me mention this, and I talked about this briefly, but I feel the Spirit of God bringing me back again. Soul winning is a source of hope. Matter of fact, Paul talks about, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 or 17. I don't know the reference. You can check that out if you want to. That's homework for you on hope. But he talks about how you are my hope. You are my crown of rejoicing. What does he say? He said, listen, you know, you receive hope, man, slow down, Tony. Relax. Chill. Okay. When you lead folks to Christ, man, it gives you hope. Heaven becomes more real to you. Once again, like that young man I led to the Lord yesterday, Brother Ephraim, I went to the Y yesterday, 7 o'clock, I was supposed to. But the Eagle Scout, the guy, the master wasn't there. And his car wouldn't start. Like my battery, that thing, it happened to him. And I began to think, well, he's not there. He texts everybody else but this one kid. And one kid came in, all floppy haired and everything, you know, and about 15 years old and looked like he was a space cadet. No, he was just out there. And I felt like the Lord said, who didn't get one of these? Brother Viscom, I'm not going to pick on you anymore. Who else? Raise your hand. Caleb's going to have to get it for her. You should have came to Sunday school, then you could have gave your wife one. But anyhow. Speaking the truth in love. But anyhow. And so, we good? We still good? Okay. So this guy, he comes in, floppy haired. He went in the room, he started pressing, and Lord told me to go and teach him. And I said, Lord, he don't want to listen. And I asked him, I said, you want to hear this message that I would have preached the whole team? If they had been here, he said, yeah. How long is it going to take? I said, 10 minutes. He says, okay. I talked to him about what does it mean to be lost? What does it mean to be lost? What does it mean to be saved? What must I do to be saved? He received Christ. Amen. God kept everybody else home for that moment.
Right.
It gave me hope. Hope that God is working in the lives of lost people all the time. And if I really want to find Christ, I found Jesus that day in that boy's life, working in his life, preparing his heart to receive that word. That 15-year-old couldn't stop thinking me. I made the message plain. 10 minutes, folks. It didn't have to take that long. Hope. Who needs hope? You need hope. The lost needs hope. Saved needs hope. What is hope? Best defined as a person. Jesus is your hope. Put your hope in him. You can't go wrong. Hope is an expectation for a Christian. It's wishful thinking for somebody that's not saved. When do you receive hope? The moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Where does it come from? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God's Word. It comes from God's love. It comes through faith. Why do you need hope? Let me just remind you. If you're lost, you need hope because without hope, you're without God. You're without Christ. You're without the promises of God. You're without the family of God. Man, you're just without. You're a man most sorrowful. You're distraught. You're defeated. You're dumbfounded. You're disillusioned. If you're not depressed now, you will be. You're in the dark. You're doomed. You don't have to be. Receive Jesus. And he'll give you all the hope you need. If you're a Christian, you need hope. You need to. Otherwise, you'll feel disillusioned, depressed, deprived, defeated, distraught, dumbfounded, destroyed, in the dark, doomed, damned. You don't have to. How do you receive hope? One way is to take these steps of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must diligently seek him in his kingdom first, in your heart, in fellowship with him, in his word, reading the word, meditating on it, memorizing it, studying it, applying it. You find hope by diligently seeking him in prayer and fasting, by diligently seeking him in the house of God, by diligently seeking him in faithful service. What have you done for Jesus lately? You know, I tell you what, by nature, you know, by nature, brother Ephraim, you know, by nature, we want Jesus to do things for us. We don't want to do things for him, do we? Not by nature. You know, we want to receive joy. We don't want to give him joy. But I tell you what, when we're faithful stewards of our time, of his time, a lot of people don't want to give up the treasure. You know what? God treasures your time more than he does your treasures. Because your time represents your life. Your talents, God's not really all that impressed with your talents and your gifts because he gave them to you. What impresses him is how you use them. And last of it, God's not impressed with the money he gave you. He gave you that money so that you can invest it in his kingdom. And so that you can live down here, not building your own kingdom, but being the ambassador he would have you to be. Money, that was good. Now you write that down, son. I like that. Did you catch that? That must have been from the Holy Ghost. I just like you, right? All right. I'm going to close with this. And some of you are surprised because you say, well, he's not closing. I'm getting tired of telling you I'm closing when I'm not closing, but I'm closing now because I said enough. Talking to my little brother, Caleb, about preaching the message on the altar, and he said, I got one. And then he was rushing around trying to get things done, but as soon as I said something about preaching, he stopped what he was doing. He was going to preach the whole message to me while he was running around. I said, Caleb, tell me later, because I want to steal your message. I want the points, I want the outline, I want it all. Folks don't come to the altar anymore. It's why my chair is my altar. Really? Folks, the altar represents humility. It represents you coming to a place where you can meet God. And what better place than to be open and transparent than with the family of God? If I go to the altar, so-and-so is going to think this way about me, or so-and-so. Listen, I don't care. I really don't. He says, what are you going to the altar for? Because you want to look good? No, because I feel bad. Because I want to get right with God. Or sometimes I'll go to the altar and say, Lord, would you bring some people from their seats? Or God, Lord, that was a good word. And would you please, dear Lord, don't allow Satan to snatch that word, that word would not fall by the wayside heart. so that word would not fall, you know, by the stony ground heart or the thorny ground heart, but it would fall on the good heart, what might bear fruit in the lives of your people. That's my prayer today. That people would come out of their seats. And if you don't want to come out of your seat, then you know, stand by your chair. Because you know what? Because listen, I know you're convicted. And if you're not, then man, your hearts need to be softened. Come on. Because I don't see much hope in the body of Christ today. I see a lot of discouragement, distress, dumbfoundedness, disillusionment, depression. These things ought not to be for Christians. You know, I tell you what, hope is the answer to a lot of the ailments that we have. You see, what happens a lot of times at sicknesses, they start in the spirit.
That's right.
That happened to me. God told me years ago to be anxious for nothing. But everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. But I said, you know what, Lord? I'd rather preach on it and tell people to do it and not do it. You know what happened? That anxiety went from the spirit to my soul and affected my emotions, my intellect, and my will. Amen. And it didn't stop there, Brother Legault. No brag, but it's fact. It started affecting my body.
That's right.
High blood pressure. Heart got so large. It got enlarged. I contracted congested heart failure. Doctors want to know, how come you're not dead? You talk about chemical imbalances. I started getting extreme highs and lows. I mean, all over the place. There were times, man, I get so high, I thought I was filled with the spirit. Adrenaline. So low, man, you couldn't pull me off the floor. At some point, you might need a little medicine as a bridge. But hope is more therapeutic. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And if you have hope, how do you get it? How do you rest in it? Pray. Pray that God would open the eyes of your understanding, that you might know what is the hope of your calling. Start with prayer. God, let me see this hope. If you're lost, man, get saved. Please, get saved. Jesus is your hope. Without him, you have no hope. Take the steps of faith. I'm trying to help you today. This is not just another message. It's a choice. Pastor, I'm done. Oh, by the way, that wasn't a message I ever preached before, so it wasn't stale bread. Oh, I got more of these. If you want one, let me know. I got about another 8 or 9. Brother, I'll give one to your wife. Brother Viscom, I do apologize.